discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Kelly Slater's joined us in the studio tonight. And
well, thank you.
Kelly walked in. At what time, Drew?
What's it now? 10 o'clock and 30 seconds? 10 o'clock and 15 seconds.
That's right. That's right. And, hey, you know what?
Wait, are these the first words you've spoken in it?
These are the first.
Yes. You know, I just drove from Laguna.
Wow.
Some girl pulled out of a parking spot. I parked, walked straight in, sat down, and
you broadcast.
I mean, timing's amazing. No,
that's what makes you a six-time world champion surfer. It's that kind of timing. Yeah. Yeah, Drew, and you know me, I don't care. If you get here before the show starts, that's all I care about.
That's right.
You don't need to be here 15 minutes.
In fact, I believe you're envious because your goal every night is to walk in here as the music plays.
Yes, and I had to get here tragically early tonight. It's a whole 9:30. Anyway, Kelly is probably the biggest name in surfing, or at least the most familiar to me over the... I'm just laughing because Kelly got something to drink and then got a tub of something dropped off for him to sprinkle into it. Is that your coffee there, Kelly?
You know, I drink like one cup of coffee a year.
Here it is. Yeah. This will be the one.
You don't want this
I
to be your
I slept about
mind.
An hour last night, and I was almost falling asleep driving, so.
All right. What happened? What were you doing? Drugs?
No, I had a surf contest this morning, and
I was prepared for surf contest. I was sleeping 1 hour before?
No, I was potentially going to win $30,000 in a car today.
But you slept 1 hour.
No. The reason I slept 1 hour is because that was, like, I was so excited and in such anticipation of this morning.
And how did you do?
That I had too much adrenaline going, and I did really poorly in my first heat this morning and lost right off the bat.
Is it all judging? I mean, how many guys judge? There's, like, five guys sitting on the beach?
Yeah, four or five guys judging.
And they're guys who have done what? Ex-surfers, guys who own surf shops, guys who write for Surfing Magazine?
Well, it's they all want to basically travel around the world and go surfing and get paid for it. And
the guys who judge?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Well, it's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, no, I'd like to get into it myself. And I think I could bring a fresh approach to judging because I'd sit there with virgin eyes just going, that one dude's shorts are cool.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a lot of controversy. It'd probably be good for the sport.
I could tell if a guy did well or not. I'd just judge it by, you know, the size of the wave. And, you know, I know the hanging 10 and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm hip to the scene. I know those Beach Boy songs.
Yeah.
That's for goddamn sure.
Oh, you'd be perfect.
Yeah, why
sounds
not?
Sounds like you got all the accolades.
Well, I mean, it's sort of subjective anyway, isn't it? I mean, you just look at someone and you go, that guy looks better or did better. Right?
It's,
how do they judge
totally subjective. It's totally subjective. It's really hard to tell people how they judge surfing because it's you get 1 through 10. The way our system is set up, it's 1 through 10 points. And you basically ride and go, oh, that looked like a 7.3 to me.
That's what you're saying.
You know,
that's what I could do. I give that guy a 7 for that. Ooh, that guy was good. I'd give him a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of ideas and ways we could change it, but they haven't been brought in yet, so.
Well, once in a while they attempt to do this. They'll try to do it with boxing, for instance, you know. Mm. And then they end up getting that sort of Olympic thing where they start counting punches and stuff. And next thing you know, you got a guy throwing a bunch of jabs, not really being that effective, but yet tallying up points. And that becomes subjective
at a certain point, you have to look at a system and go, there's probably a reason it's working.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's okay the way it is because there's sort of a consensus. The things they're arriving at make sense.
Couldn't you just get done with each round instead of counting? Just go. It really looked to me like he kicked his
butt.
And
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That that's the whole thing.
You have like a jury. Yeah, more than judge, you have a jury.
See, I'm thinking in surfing that we could do a thing where you score like the degree of difficulty for a ride, and then maybe the
they factor that in? I mean,
they
the
sort
moves
of do, but you don't know what part of the ride actually got that. Like, some guy might take off and do six maneuvers that aren't very difficult.
Right,
it looked okay, and they a lot of water went flying, but it wasn't a very difficult maneuver.
But Kelly's clearly bitter, by the way, after losing.
This morning, yeah.
He lost to Buick and $20,000 this morning. He's had an hour's sleep, and
I'm super pissed. I mean, that
all right, well, let me ask
Australian
this.
Guy.
How many waves does it? What if you catch more waves than the next guy?
You count a certain number of waves.
So everybody gets counted on five waves,
two waves, or three waves. The way we're doing it now is mostly on two waves in a 30 or 35 minute heat.
So you should hang out and wait for a good wave. Instead of rushing and hopping on everything that comes up.
Yeah,
right?
See, this morning there were some really good waves coming through.
Where were you?
Lower Trestles, right south of San Clemente. Right. And I was watching these waves that were, 3, 4, 5 feet overhead coming in, wave after wave. And then my heat started, and I thought, I'm just going to be on the big ones. So
right.
I waited outside. The other guy got a few smaller ones, but they were pretty lined up and nice waves.
And
I sat there and watched. I basically waited for 35 minutes and I didn't get anything. So I was a little angry when I got to shore.
Yeah, surfing to me, the ocean is one of the scarier things on the planet to me. I mean, it's whenever I watch one of those movies where the boat's at night going through the big swells and the storms and everything, to me the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being is just falling off the back of a cruise ship at night and watching the light get more, fade as it went over the horizon. This is like the freakiest thing in the world to me. But just
I had a few of those nightmares as a kid.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just being out in the ocean and being pounded by those huge waves just seems like a nightmare to me. I mean, do you I don't know enough about surfing. I know there's big wave riders. Do you do that?
Yeah.
That sounds, I would wear a helmet. Do you wear a helmet?
Big waves, you don't need a helmet.
But what?
You need a helmet in shallow waves.
Oh, really?
Everybody's going to be able to hold your breath.
Yeah, that's all you got to worry about.
Because big waves are in deep water?
Yeah.
Deep water, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's such deep water generally that they're coming in and kind of just cresting, just barely breaking.
How deep is the water usually out on those big waves?
A really big wave, you're probably dealing with 30 feet of water. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the biggest wave you think you've ever ridden?
Probably 40-foot face or something.
Oh, my God.
That's huge.
It is.
Well, considering some other guys have ridden, 60-foot, 70-foot waves.
But. Yeah, but they were high. You did this sober.
All you have to do is just
call in tonight.
If you stand under a four-story building,
right, look
just stand right up against a four-story building and look up. Yeah.
When I do that, I even kind of freak out. That's heavy. But then when you're out there, you don't think about it. But
will you ever see a wave that's too big? Like where you go, no, this is too big. I'm not riding.
I've seen waves where
you're not ready.
Yeah, two Christmases ago, I was out surfing in Hawaii, and it was just huge and perfect. The best conditions I've probably ever seen for big waves. And there was this one spot I was watching, and I was just thinking in the back of my head, I don't want to go and surf over there. And the guy I was with, we're over there. And I'm like, well, I'll ride the ski and pull you in. I don't really feel like surfing that. It's just sometimes your limit or what you're comfortable with. Other times you get in situations that you didn't think you could handle, and you come out laughing, so...
Yeah, but then sometimes you come out dead and possibly still laughing.
You don't remember
those. I'm unclear on that. But, it seems like one of the... There's a handful of sports that we make a little too much of, and then there's a handful that we don't make enough of, and big wave riding should be made a little more of. That is super, super hairy stuff. And the ones these guys are riding now... It looks like they look like computer-generated waves.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a Gatorade commercial something where they just took a picture and put
it in
front
of
the guy.
They did that Powerade commercial. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did.
That wasn't real?
No, that's not real. No, that was. I know. But even...
He mysteriously disappears for 15 seconds in a 40-foot whitewater and comes flying out.
I mean, you were yelling fake, right? Like when Drew watches ER. Yells fake all the time.
Actually, it was a friend of mine, and the wave the first part of the wave they show was this really famous wipeout in the surfing circles, and he almost died.
Right.
But
But that was a friend of yours.
Yeah, but, and then they sort of computer animated it in with some other wave, and they made it look like you made it.
So there must be, there's probably a bunch of surfers that die every year, right? Or at least end up in a wheelchair.
No, not a bunch. There's a bunch of swimmers, you know, from, like, middle America who die every year.
But not real surfers?
No, it's like one every year or two or three, you know.
Right, like not that many pros.
I think the last time I was in here, I talked about this. A couple of my really good friends have drowned, like three in about 2.5 years. And one of them was a friend named Todd Chester who came on the show with me back years ago, and Dr. Drew was here.
Was that on a big wave? Or
was it? Yeah, he was paddling out, and it broke outside of him. And there was about 10 waves, probably 50-foot phase.
Or after another.
Ten waves in a row. So
And waves never look bigger than when you're in the water and just your head is sticking up. I mean, it's like...
And you know, waves never look bigger if when you lose your board and you're in the middle of the ocean.
Oh.
When you're like a mile from shore and then the waves break in front of you. So.
No, I used to just body surf, but I could remember that feeling of a huge wave forming way out there at Zuma or someplace or Malibu or something, and it's a freaky feeling. It's like it's a weird thing, which is in other forms of life, you're used to running away from whatever it is that's scaring you. Like if you saw a bear 100 yards in front of you, you'd start going the other way. But with waves, you got to swim at them, and you kind of got to hope your timing is right. I mean, you can't swim away from them. So isn't this kind of a weird thing that goes against human nature, which is swimming at the thing that you think is going to
screw you up? No, you know what?
I'm getting short of breath.
All right, I'm freaking out.
I've paddled the other way. I've paddled toward shore before because I knew it was going to break where I was going to get to if I paddled outward. But
yeah.
let's hear some other problems that
we
have.
All right. Brandon?
Yo.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
When I have intercourse with my girlfriend, and as soon as I put penetration in, she gets like, starts shaking and she bites down on my neck.
Uh huh.
And I find that to be like very weird.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what does she say to you?
She just bites down on my neck and I'm like, God, stop.
And does she stop?
Yeah. After a while.
Does she harm you? Is it a mark for a couple of days?
It's like a hickey with bite marks.
What does she say is going on?
You know,
go ahead.
My girlfriend sometimes does that.
All right.
I don't know.
Chicks like it when you bite their neck. Maybe they just assume guys like it when their neck is bitten.
I guess that's what it is.
I mean, no. I like it.
Why? No. You do the same things a chick that you think that
you like. Yeah, but you put your mouth there, you don't chomp down.
Okay.
Someone's taking a piece of flesh.
Yeah, but she's like a vampire. So when she bites down, just like eating a piece of fried chicken type deal.
Yeah, okay. So that's real aggressive.
Is she Latino?
No.
All right. Well, what's the question? Why does she do that?
Cause like,
have you asked her?
You have to ask her.
I have to ask her.
Yeah, I know that's a stretch.
You're going to mysteriously go around her, and we're going to have the answer for you.
That's a bizarre concept to actually go to the source, but that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, because she's, like, very dominant in the relationship.
Hey, Brandon.
Yes?
I'm trying to figure out what drugs you do.
What drugs?
Which ones?
I used to do heroin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like a long time ago.
And what do you do now for a living? Video store?
No, I'm a construction worker.
Oh, no. What kind of construction?
Carpentry.
Like
laying carpet, vinyl siding, roofing.
Oh,
that's not carpentry, is it?
That's all the worst parts of carpentry. That's like.
How did you get out of doing heroin? How did you stop that?
I got fed up with it because I lost a lot of girlfriends.
Brandon, how'd you stop? You still smoke a lot of pot or do methadone? How'd you stop?
I stopped.
You're not in recovery.
I just. One day it's like...
What are you taking instead of heroin now?
I smoke a lot of cigarettes.
How about a lot of weed?
No.
What else?
Weed.
Are you taking medication?
No.
You're not taking anything?
I'm taking anything. It's a hard struggle.
Do you drink a lot?
No.
Okay. Well, what should he do, Drew?
He's a sex addict now.
It could be. That's what happens. They'll get into criminal stuff and sex and things, and the way to try to control those heavy drives. He should, you know, go to NA, get a sponsor, and, you know, maybe talk to some people and get some support so we can go back into this relationship and not confront her, but be able to ask her why she's harming him.
Does it really take therapy to go ask someone that, though?
If he can't, he says he can't. Yeah, I won't do it. She's dominant.
No.
You know what? I'm going to call in here, tell you my life story, and ask you this question, and hope that my girlfriend's not listening.
Yeah, it's another part.
Or is this like a...
There's a private line just for Brandon.
Yeah.
No one else is listening. But the deal is, though, the reason I was going down the recovery path is I guarantee you this woman he's with is a piece of work.
Oh, yeah.
And that when he gets into some recovery, he'll start to see that, and this will be less of an issue for him.
All right. Well, to me, more...
So the relationship's taking place of that in some...
There's something wrong with it, yeah.
More than the guy doing heroin in the past being a strike against him, it's laying carpet is a living.
Oh, he does carpeting and roofing.
Ooh!
Carpeting and roofing.
Well, if he was laying asbestos, I'd be really worried about him.
Carpet. You'd be better off. Carpet. Think about what a horrible job putting carpet down is. Let me just say this about carpet, laying carpet. All you can do is F it up. That's all you can do. No one ever comes in and praises your work.
Yeah.
Ooh, no one ever goes, wow. No, you never walk into someone's house and go, who put this carpet here? That is
amazing.
Something
you only notice if you screw up, right?
Yeah. Yes. There's certain jobs like carpet laying, movers. Movers. No one ever goes, hey, who put that sofa there? That's nice work. But you could move someone into a mansion, Aaron Spelling's mansion with 250 rooms. All you got to do is bust one lamp, and it's a disaster.
Movers. I travel so much. So if the guys who are handling my boards on the plane, my surfboards on the plane, ding them. That's the only time I notice them, you know. It's not like they did a great job transporting.
No.
They either don't do the job or they did a really bad job.
That's right. You should never have that job.
Yep.
All you young kids, sit around and think about who you're going to be getting out of high school or college or whatever, going into some profession. Don't get one of those jobs where no one says anything except for when you F up.
Unless you're incredibly self-secure.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I think it's dense. It's like, you think parking enforcement people are that secure? No. Or are they just sort of like dogs who don't know when you're cussing at them?
Their shirts should say insecurity on them. Not security.
It's Kelly Slater, I'll tell
genius.
You.
A genius.
Be great.
Poet.
Come on.
Heather? No, that's not bad. Heather?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I had a question about anal sex and how safe it is to have it.
All right.
With a monogamous partner.
Well, you can hurt yourself. Not necessarily going to, but people get hemorrhoids and tears and fissures and infections. And
I'm talking about long term.
It can have trouble. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well,
and can have trouble controlling their bowels. And obviously, as you get older, when you already start to have those kinds of problems, if you've been sort of altering the function of that region, it can be even worse.
So how often is okay to do it?
Well, you've never done it yet?
No.
You're fine. you don't want to make a career out of it.
Well,
it's for Christmas.
She does. Well, yeah,
some people want to, you know?
She does. Taylor does.
Yeah, but she would have done it already. She's never done it before.
No,
she's 27.
I do it about once a month. I just don't want to ruin myself so that I'm stepping on myself in the nursing home when I'm old.
I thought she said she hadn't done it.
No.
No.
Regularly.
Once a month.
Are you holding back at keeping it once a month?
Yes. I like it. He likes it.
All right. Is it harmful? Is it hurt at all?
Sometimes I bleed.
Oh.
But...
That's
you need to have that evaluated, by the way.
What, the bleeding?
Yeah.
Well, why? Wouldn't there then to be like, is it, you know, like, let me say this, Drew. You know when you brush your teeth real hard sometimes and you spit and there's a little blood? Isn't it kind of just that kind of bleeding? It's not that you sharpen the end of the toothbrush and push it up through the palate of your mouth.
I love the Corolla-isms. You always come up with these little...
Pretty much right on this.
But that's the kind of bleeding that you get, you know? You get that, there's certain kinds of casual bleeding your body does where it's kind of okay.
Whenever he gets...
Yeah.
Normally when I control it, I don't bleed, but if he takes over,
see what I'm saying?
Sometimes it gets a little rough and...
All right, hold on a second. Heather's... Now, see, here's why. See, people say, why do you label everyone nuts all the time? So that chick likes it in the pooper every once in a while. Isn't that her prerogative? But then they start talking more and a little more, and now it starts painting a picture.
Yeah.
And the picture starts getting a little weird.
Well, it started with, I've never done it.
Then I'm holding back.
And then then it's all of a sudden, I don't want to be crapping on myself when I'm in at home when I'm older.
And I bleed. So
it's been well thought out.
When he sets the cadence, then there's hemorrhaging going on. Heather?
Yes.
Now, what's up with him? Is this something? Does he have some issues?
I don't think so.
We all have issues, Adam.
Well, I mean, but,
well, yeah.
But your issues don't affect my anus. Drew's, however.
I beg your pardon.
No, what I'm saying is that you just happen to mention that you only bleed rectally when you hand the reins over to your man, and that he gets a little violent back there.
Either
that seems a little strange.
He's doing the toothbrush irritation of the surface of the colon, or he's actually tearing out the sphincter. You see what I'm saying, Adam? So it's different than brushing your teeth.
Tearing is going on whenever I bleed.
You feel the tearing.
Can you
see what I'm saying, Adam?
Yeah. Hey, Heather,
you can get
hear what you're saying.
That recurrent tearing, you know, just like you can, you know, we always talk about the prepuce getting narrow and narrow and narrow.
That's the foreskin.
If it keeps tearing.
Right.
Well, the same thing can happen
to
the anus.
Right. Then you're...
Bad times.
Right, because your duke comes out like...
Pencils.
What, like fettuccine or something?
Fettuccine, number two pencils. Yes.
Can you? But here, let me ask.
What she was getting at was what is healthy, because some people just enjoy
it. Hold on. I just came up with a great idea.
Oh no, pasta maker.
Well, like the pasta maker, we have the extrusion templates that you can actually put. So, you know, when you're a kid, you have the Play-Doh and you squeeze thing out, comes out in a star shape, or it comes out like an I-beam.
Yes. Oh yes.
Hexagonal.
Yes. What would you like?
How about that for the fella who's got everything? You know what I mean? Like my buddy Jimmy takes a lot of dumps. He seems to enjoy himself, but maybe it's lost its luster. How about the extrusion anal templates?
Yes, filters, you know?
Maybe do your initials.
They're not catchy enough. We need a better name for it. Need something
I'm going to have to work on it, but I'm saying, like, yours, Drew, I form your fecal matter into a D shape
as it came out. It was the Play-Doh factory.
How about the Poodle factory?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Duke factory. The Duke factory.
You could actually...
Some type of butt plug mechanism.
You could have actually a hollow feces if you did it right. You could do tubes.
Oh, Adam. How wonderful.
Drew, write this down,
my God,
would you?
It's a genius.
That would be huge.
Oh.
You could keep them on the top of the toilet before five different templates.
And you get the little Chia Pet action going with the ones that, you know, create little men with hair coming in.
It's a solution.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You stramp on one of those troll heads and have the hair grow out of it.
Yes, yes.
Do like Santa Claus and his beard. To write this down, would you? This is gonna make me rich. I mean, it may be a novelty item, but what about the pet rock and the mood ring? These were novelty items.
People laughed.
Somebody got rich off it.
How dare they?
The mood ring was just novelty.
I don't think that actually was supported by any real scientific data.
We'll be right back.
All right, hey Heather.
Yes.
I worry about this guy as much as I worry about your anus.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Don't worry about him.
Because the fact that he would be so... First of all, we just have a funny feeling about guys that are so focused on having sex in the rear. That's sort of an aggressive act. And a guy that does it so vigorously that he makes you bleed repeatedly. And you've not said that he's been concerned about it or, you know, or is...
We've been married for 8 years.
All right.
Well. And...
How many kids?
Something that I like.
How many kids?
I requested.
Heather, one thing we do not want you to walk away from the conversation with is guilt or shame, or so you feel it's a bad thing you're doing. Yeah, it's fine. You do enjoy it? Great, enjoy. However, the fact that he's so aggressive bothers us a little bit, and the fact that you're causing traumatic injury to that area troubles me.
I think she's over control of it. Enjoy.
Enjoy. But just two quick questions. What's the guy do for a living?
He's an engineer, actually.
Oh, what kind of engineer?
Industrial.
All right.
Technology. They make parts for the Navy. They make parts for
aircraft. All right. Metal parts.
All right. Metal parts. And, all right. That's it. That's all I need to know.
Gaskets.
All right. Good times. Yeah, you may need a new gasket if he doesn't.
I think so.
Be careful. That's nice. What happened to your wife? I wore out her ass about 20 years ago. That's nice.
Can't go outside anymore.
Yeah. Well, she does, but she's got a... Well, she got an indoor diaper and an outdoor. When she goes out, she got to wear a diaper.
Of course.
Yeah, like she got to be like one of those horses that pulls the carts around Central Park. You know, they put that crap
behind it.
Bucket on.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, so they can get some range. They can get away from their stall a little bit without making a mess.
Kelly Slater's our guest tonight. Six-time world champion surfer. He's got himself a video game out. Shut up, Drew. Let me plug this, please. It's called Kelly Slater Pro Surfer, and I'm going to talk to him a little bit more about that when we come back, Drew. Yes?
I was just thinking, I know something that these people that are really into anal sex have never seen, which is rectal prolapse, where the rectum falls out the rear end. I think that...
I was going to bring that up.
No, if I could take a few of these folks around to see that, I think that might sort of slow them down a little bit.
So, well, Drew, you know...
There's got to be more going on than just the anal... I mean, there's other health issues going on when that happens.
It was infectious disease stuff, too. What's that now?
Drew, you should do, like... You know what they would do?
They would take scared straight.
They get the kids. They bring them to jail.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Black guy was missing an eye. Scream at him.
Sex jail with.
Yeah, you could do the scared straight for the anal
absolutely.
Freaks.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Slater's our guest tonight. Six-time world champion surfer. Kelly Slater's Pro Surfer is the name of the new video, which is coming out. Video game, I should say, coming out on the 17th, which is in a week. And it is compatible for PlayStation 2, Xbox, and Nintendo GameCube, yes? Now, what do? Steer you around while you're on your board?
Yeah, basically.
And do you have to paddle out?
No, you don't have to paddle out. You just paddle into waves.
Are there a bunch of judges?
No, there aren't. No, but there is
Adam has an idea for you, though.
There is some sort of judging system they've put in place in the game. But
I see. And you see, I've never played. I can play like pinball and pong and pachinko. Those are my games, but I've never done the video games where like you're skateboarding or surfing or riding or anything. You have to have a joystick or something, or you just use a regular thing.
Basically, it's not really a joystick. I don't know.
What they can do the regular thing.
Kids go nuts with this stuff.
They do.
Yeah, I like to blow stuff up.
It's funny. I could play this game. Well, I've been basically playing what we've been working on for 2 years now, and I guarantee that the first day it comes out. Kids who know how to play video games will be better than me at it.
Oh, sure.
Like, within 20 minutes of them playing it.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, probably within 2 minutes. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, now, when you're designing or helping design this, do you say, oh, it should feel a little more like this or look a little more like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. The most important thing is the feel of how the guy rides on the wave. Does it feel like the timing's correct from when it gets to point A to point B and the way... The radius of the turns are done, and how the aerials look, and animations, and
right. Okay, that's coming out in 1 week, everybody. Paul.
Oh, hey.
Paul, you're 16. What's up?
Oh yeah, virgin. Adam. I want to know why you hate Florida so much.
Paul, you're a virgin.
Hey, you know what? I want to know that too, because I'm from Cocoa Beach.
Hold on. First things first.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bad timing night, by the way, because Kelly is not only from Florida but resides in Florida, right?
I actually reside in Los Angeles.
That's right, you do, buddy. You're goddamn right, you do. You hear that, Paul?
Yeah, I heard that.
No, Paul, I just grew up thinking that Florida was a place that you either went on vacation or went to die if you were Jewish.
You do.
And it is true. Those two things are true. But I didn't know about all the hillbillies and waffle huts. Waffle houses that come from Florida. And I never knew about all the fugitives that reside there either. And how every time we're on a manhunt for somebody or some terrorist did some training somewhere, it always ends up getting back to Florida in some way. Now, maybe it's because of the size of the state. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's because it's sort of in between a lot of other states where there's troublemakers. I don't know.
Remember,
but it all ends up in Florida.
Whenever Adam and I were traveling in Florida, too, we'd always run into these guys, males,
yes.
who had family in the northern plains, in Minnesota, Michigan.
Yeah, they'd be like, yeah, I got like 8 kids in Seattle. And you're like, well, do you miss them?
Let's
see them once in a while.
Yeah.
What do you do now? I work on a boat. Yeah, it's where stupid guys go to work on boats. That's what I've
And leave
out.
Families behind to do that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
my
up?
Dad's a deadbeat dad, so...
All right, there you go, Paul. See? Yeah.
But where's he going, though? Now, you're in Florida. This must be quite a quandary for him. Where can he go?
I think he's in Washington State or somewhere.
Interesting.
Paul chased him down to Florida, and he had to go somewhere else, see?
He had to flee Florida?
Yeah.
No, you're from Florida, right, Paul?
Well, I was born in San Francisco originally.
Uh-huh.
See?
Oh.
And dad went to Florida.
Yeah, and we came with him.
See?
Oh. I don't remember anything of California.
I see. But the family was with him when he went to Florida.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it is interesting if you're a deadbeat dad, where do you go if you start in Florida?
I see. Yeah.
That's an interesting dilemma. That's like if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it.
Right.
All right. Hey, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. You'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. You stay in that Florida. You're in Orlando?
Wait.
That's good.
What was the question?
Yeah, no question.
I wanted to know why I hated Florida so much.
That was all?
Yeah.
How long did you wait online?
Oh, not too long, like 20 minutes.
Hour.
Maybe.
53 minutes and 14 seconds.
Well, it's up there.
It's 1:35 in the morning.
All right.
That makes it better.
The other thing I know about Floridians, they have no ability to estimate time.
Yes.
This kid says 20 minutes, but nearly three times that long. I've always said about the Floridians.
You know, I estimated I'd get here 5 seconds before the show started, but it was like
15 seconds after.
It was 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. There you go there, Paul. We were talking during the commercial break about this country and bombing and, this thing with Iraq coming up and everything. And, I've said before on the air, you have a badass country when we get into wars, when we kill more of our own people than the enemy does. And if you really just think about that, how badass are you as a military power? Imagine putting that in any kind of historical context, any World War I, World War II, whatever, Korea, Vietnam, whatever war you want to think about. Imagine the one team, the one side killing more. It's like you having a football team that actually scoring for the other team because
more than they ever scored on you.
Someone got confused and ran the wrong direction something.
Right.
And the other thing I realized when they were talking about the holy month of Ramadan or the holy holiday of Ramadan coming up, because I think Kelly brought it up or you brought it up during the break. We also, you're badass when you bomb around other people's holidays. How badass a country are you when you're killing more of your own people and planning your bombing raids around their holidays? I mean, that's a confident country. Like, when's Ramadan over? Oh, we got another 10 days?
Hey, yeah, and wonder why people hate us,
Well, I don't know. That's not bad. We're working around the holidays.
Oh, we're so kind.
We're working with the holiday. I'm saying, what other country that we get a fight with gives a rat's ass about our holidays? I mean, I got Easter coming up. You guys going to worry about that?
What other country is coming over here and bombing on our soil,
Well, they can't. They would. I'll tell you what country. Japan. Japan made all those balloon bombs that they were lighting off and letting go in the northwest, trying to start fires and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, they attempted it.
Well, it's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about this stuff lately, and one thing I've seen this last year trying to figure out where we are in history and stuff is that when dominance patterns break down in human systems, chaos ensues. And by dominance patterns, I mean somebody has got to be in charge.
That's right.
And that's in a within a system and between systems.
Right. We got to be in charge.
But that may be why deterrents have worked so well. But now the deterrents aren't there anymore, so the dominance is breaking down.
What deterrents are
there? Before we had nuclear deterrents. That's why there was a face-off of nuclear deterrents. There was a dominant. There was a pattern there that balanced the dominance in the system.
Right.
Now they're getting under that.
Right.
And challenging the dominance.
I wonder if there really was that, or if it was just like the fear that it might be there. Was it really there? Like, were we really that close?
Kelly needs a little medication, I think.
No, he knows the bombs were there. He just wants to know how close we got.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, during the Cuban missile crisis.
It's almost like, don't
crisis,
make a move, we'll take care of everything. You guys just, we're the power,
It was a little hairy when the Soviets were moving them into Cuba back in the 60s or whatever that was. I could see it. That's a little freaky
that
having them 90 miles off the coast. But, yeah, I don't know, and I don't think we'll ever know what the closest we ever came to actually pushing the button was.
Probably not very. That's the point. That's why these things work. They probably were just deterrents.
Probably not very close at all.
Deterrents.
That's what my point was.
Oh, they were deterrents.
Yeah.
No, that's what it is. But imagine all these subs floating around out with all these warheads on them.
I heard that the Cubans wouldn't give the Russians back their bombs. And so the Russians were actually coming after the Cubans to get their bombs back. But we thought they were coming after us. So it was a big confusing sort of thing going on.
Well, they had to get them. They got them there in the first place.
That was the problem.
But, yeah, maybe they... I don't know how that works. You have to get a deposit or something?
But, you know, they were going to do is bomb Florida, so it wouldn't have bothered you anyways.
Jeez.
If that's true, and I'm going to look into that, then I'll change my tune on this. Rob?
Yeah.
You're 21. Yeah, this missile has... It's 95 miles. That's its range. We can get 5 feet in on Pompano Beach.
Miami.
Ruts up there, Rob. You're 21.
Oh, sorry. I just woke up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a little problem. Over the years, I've developed a problem developing relationships. I used to not have a problem with it. High school, I dated a girl, like my first girlfriend, and kind of rough. Found out about 2 weeks after we broke up that she slept with my brother, my younger brother.
Right after you broke up or while you were dating her?
While we were dating.
Did you kick his ass?
I should have, no.
Oh, yeah.
You always could still.
Yeah, you still could.
And then, I just kind of, I kind of just pushed it out, blocked it out, you know, kind of was, still am pissed off at him for that, you know.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 17.
And how old was he?
16.
All right. What's the question now? What is the question?
I'm just wondering, like, how I can overcome this problem with developing relationships with people. I mean, whenever people get close or I feel they're getting close, I'll push them away. I'll sabotage whatever relationship I have with them or just anything I can just to...
Well, here's the pattern you develop, Rob. No. That's what you think you're doing. But what you're actually doing is, unless you have someone sufficiently chaotic and like that first girlfriend, someone would sleep with your brother, you're going to push him away and sabotage. Someone that would really be in a relationship with you, that you're not going to have anything to do with. But some crazy, crazy, dramatic, over-the-top, chaotic individual, that's the one you'll have the relationship with.
Well,
you see what I'm saying, Adam?
Normally that pattern is for women.
No, guys do that too.
Normally it's for women.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't talk to too many guys who have that. Rob?
Yeah.
Do you date chaotic women?
He hasn't found one.
Actually, I really haven't dated in a while. I mean,
no.
That was the only one. When I went away to college, you know, I tried dating people, you know, I bring them over to meet my roommates, and they try, you know, my roommates would try to sleep, and you know, I end up sleeping with them. And,
well, listen, guys will always try to sleep with someone who's attractive if you leave them alone.
They do it in front of me.
Well, okay, but if you brought a pizza home and set it down on the table and said, I'm gonna take a dump.
You know what, I'm leaving for the weekend, and I just bought this new pizza and left it in the fridge. Please don't touch it.
Yeah, it's gone. That's how guys work.
With guys, you just got to walk through the room with a pizza. Yeah, it's just gone.
I think it's all about perception. How do you perceive what happened there? You know, it's like, obviously, something happened that was pretty hideous behind your back with your close family member.
But your roommates wanting to have sex with your hot girlfriends is
pretty
very
normal.
College appropriate.
College appropriate, yeah.
All right. Rob?
Yes.
Get back on the horse.
Yeah, the deal
something.
Is you have to learn to trust again. And if you can't, then that's what therapy's for.
It's a weird thing, Lisa. You know what's weird is the people who can't read other people and don't trust their ability to read other people. I find that strange. I don't have any of it.
I always figure that's a cover for something.
I do, too. Yeah. I don't believe it.
Yeah,
when people go, well, he seems like a nice guy, but I don't know. I don't know. And it's like, what do you mean you don't know? Don't you feel like you know everyone around you pretty damn well? How many times have you been surprised?
Oh,
have you been surprised?
Yeah, I'm always surprised. But I'm never. I'm always amazed that how
you're only surprised in the moment, but not when you might be.
I'm surprised, but I don't have any disbelief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People like don't surprise me in the sense that how could they be like that?
Right.
But I'm always amazed at people.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, everyone's disappointing, horribly disappointing, including myself. By the way.
Oh, by the way,
I'm most disappointed
we'll talk about
myself. Yes, but I've never had anyone and go, I thought I knew you, and you were somebody else.
Not since I was 14.
Right.
No.
There you go. All right. Kelly Slater, pro surfer. He's in studio tonight. He is here pimping Kelly Slater, pro surfer, which is video games coming out. And it's coming out. Who's the genius who thought of that title, by the way? The guy who thought of Tony Hawk, pro skater?
Well, couldn't be the same guy. All right. He's going to be here. We're going to be here. We're all going to be back. And that'll be just after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Kelly Slater, our guest tonight. Kelly Slater, six-time world champion surfer, and it is no coincidence that his name is in front of Kelly Slater's Pro Surfer, which is coming out on the 17th. And the good thing is, actually, what with Tony Hawk Pro Skater thing is, when you say Kelly Slater's Pro Surfer, you don't have to go the video game anymore. It's sort of, I mean, Tony, I'm sure when he was out in the early days talking about it, and we probably had him on the show 3 or 4 years ago on the TV or in here talking about it, he had to explain to everyone, this is a video game about skateboarding. You don't really have to do it anymore with Kelly Slater.
That's why I delayed the launch.
Yeah, always best for everything to cool down, the smoke to clear, and the kids to spend all their money before you then launch your line. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do with my ass extruder. I'm going to wait till someone else comes up with it, and then I make my move. So what shape? There's, you say,
stars,
I know.
Stars.
Jewish stars, well, or just a 5-point?
5-point star. And the,
what about Hanukkah? What,
you have a shape like a menorah?
No, I'm saying the Jewish star.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Is that like and a 6-point star?
Or, yeah. They need something that cuts it, too, so you make a little design. Yeah.
That's a very interesting thing, yeah. For those of you who are just tuning in,
you'd have
to
have been following for the last 40 minutes.
Yeah. This is, what is that thing called, that Play-Doh?
Play-Doh Factory.
Play-Doh Factory. You have the different templates in the different shapes. You put the Play-Doh on the top. You pull the handle down.
Yeah, or like a garlic crusher, too, or something.
Right. And it extrudes it in that shape. Right. Now, I'm thinking about this for the ass in number two.
Uh-huh.
And I can figure out some of the templates. Crescent moon. We'd have to do fairly simple stuff.
Circles,
like you could do like Lincoln's head
triangle
or something. That's
not
going to read.
You've got to come out with basic things first until people really understand it.
I think they'll
achieve
that.
And then you can get intricate.
Well, Lincoln's, you can use Lincoln's face and he can grow a beard, grow hair.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
Or you could patch them together in different shapes that make up the whole.
Well, that's interesting too. Like
I'm
a puzzle.
I'm having a visual, though.
A beard and nose.
I was thinking that too. Where if you just could extrude basically blocks, then you'd have a building set.
Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs.
True.
Yeah.
True. Geez. Although, those basically are just Duke. I mean, they have notches in them.
Well, Adam, it's just a catchy name. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. No, you're right. You're right. That's good. And perhaps like your initial, like your first initial or something.
Yeah,
I think
you have to cut that,
I think, well, we'll do a kit where you can do
your
custom stencils.
Your girlfriend's initial.
Yeah, honey, come here.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Hey, you know you always say I forget the anniversary? Come here. Yeah. Who forgot now?
Well, you need the plus. You need the plus sign.
Yeah.
Be plus.
Yeah, do the plus. Do the cross.
The cross. Yeah.
All right, these are all great. I can't write fast enough.
Oh, sorry. I'm so excited.
And we'll work in. Now, how do we cut it off? Maybe how do we cut it? There's got to be the slicer,
yeah, like a scissor.
Is it built in, or you just hang like a carpet knife around your nuts on a rope?
I think
something.
We sell it as a game, so two people participate. One does the cutting.
Yeah. Let's save the babies. Eric.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yep. Sure am.
All right, there. What's up?
Nothing much. I wanted to ask Kelly, like, just what he thought about localism in surfing, that is, and maybe see if he experienced any and what his reaction was and all.
You mean, like, just locals like, only kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, it's just, like, or maybe just our guys out there. I guess he doesn't even have to be a local, but just, like, giving some people a hard time and stuff, and it just kind of ruins everybody's time out there.
And what's up with
it? Territorialism you're talking
big,
about.
Big court cases the last couple of years on these things.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there has been.
People hurting each other.
Yeah, the locals want to keep Palos Verdes quiet.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, you beat people up.
Who come around.
And 1 out of 100 goes and tells the cops, and then they have a lawsuit, and then more people know about your spot than ever have known about it before.
Right.
And this is an age old surfing problem. This locals only. I can always remember the Vals go home. I was a Val myself.
Tourist. You're a tourist.
I was a Valley guy.
Yeah.
I went the Valley guy. I wouldn't want the...
That was probably my friends.
I lived in the Valley. I had a Vals Go Home t-shirt. I didn't want to live with those a-holes either. But, yeah, the guys come in, and they basically, you know, hog up the good waves. You got your nice surf spot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the competition. And surfers, who basically are a bunch of guys who like to smoke weed and lay in the sun all day, are pretty aggressive when it comes to that. I mean, surfers are mellow guys normally. They get a little weird about the waves.
But otherwise,
it's hard to get them going on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ironic that they become thugs because they're really mellow guys who normally just like to sort of listen to some music, smoke some weed.
Something to do with what you referred to, what you experienced this morning, in that you wait all day for that right wave and somebody else screws it up, it's explode. You can't stand it.
We all feel it. It's like some childhood, like brotherly competitive thing or something. It's like, here comes a wave, and it's either me or you. And,
right.
You know, it's kind of an instinctual thing. I want it.
But all the guy has to do is be 30 feet away from you, right? Or 40 feet, I mean.
Well, when you're riding?
Yeah, I mean.
You want to be riding by yourself, the right part of the wave. No, there's two sides to it. I mean, I've been on both sides of the localism thing.
People recognize you, right?
Yeah, but there's once in 50 times that works against you.
Somebody wants to.
Yeah,
like,
but.
Like the guy at the airport
if you know
me in the ass yesterday.
You know,
yelled
what?
My name.
What?
I'll tell you about it later.
We'll get back. All right.
We got to go break.
Oh, Kelly Slater here, everybody.
I'll
answer
that later.
Sorry about that, Kelly. But we'll take a quick break, and we'll get back to me getting raped in the airport after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Slater, our guest tonight. Six-time world champion surfer, Kelly Slater. And... Kelly has himself a video game, which is called Kelly Slater's Pro Surfer, and is coming out the 17th, which is in 1 week, and it'll work. It's compatible with all the stations, right? All the Nintendo and the GameCube and the PlayStation, the Xbox. It works with all of them?
Works with all of them. Even the Game Boy Advance, so they say. I haven't seen
it
yet.
Really? Is this a relatively new thing that stuff is compatible with all the technology?
Well... They make them compatible individually for each one. It's not like one will be compatible with all
five games.
If you got Xbox, you get the Xbox version of
right.
it. And
but
if you have the PlayStation, you get the PlayStation.
Right.
What most kids have?
You know, if you
three
got,
or four
if,
different of these things.
Yeah, if you have PlayStation 2 and Xbox, you should really buy both of them and check out the differences.
That's the only way you'll know. Otherwise, you'll be missing out.
Yeah.
You really, kids have all... I'm going to kick my dad right in the nuts. I got a whole long list of reasons to kick him in the nuts. Now I got another one. Kids have two or three of these things.
I think an average kid would have a Game Boy or Game Boy Advance and either PlayStation or Game Boy.
What do your kids have?
All that.
They have all of them.
Mm. Well, they don't have Xbox. They don't have,
the Xbox.
They don't have the PlayStation 2.
That's so ironic about my...
They don't? They have GameCube?
They have GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
And now
they got to have one of the main three.
People give me this crap now, and I just give it away to people who have friends. Have kids. Yeah.
Have you been to the E3 video game convention?
No.
Well,
he had a booth last year.
Well, you know,
Dr. Drew.
If you want to take your kids somewhere,
take them there.
Yeah. The Nintendo booth at that place was crazy.
Yeah, but isn't it like I don't know, bringing an alcoholic to a bar or something? I mean,
much worse than that.
I'm saying maybe
it's taking a drunk alcoholic to a bar.
Right, you should not be fanning the flames with your kids in this stuff, should you?
Mm.
It's going to be trouble.
Or is it like one of those quit smoking things by putting them in a room with no ventilation
and
you
smoke
just
into
smoke
his face?
Well, you stay in this little glass room and you smoke
until point.
You.
Drew, you have to do it with your kids. I want you to play video games. I want you to drop out of school and play video games. And you do that thing where you
reverse psychology.
Right, it usually works.
Okay.
Because you don't want to do the stuff your parents did, right?
Right. I'll sit home and do video games.
Okay. Smoke pot, play the video games.
Get tattooed and pierced.
And have unprotected sex. That's right. Paul?
Yeah.
You're 23?
That's right, bro.
What's up, brada?
Got some problems, I guess. I'm on my way back from Mexico right now. I got a pretty bad drug problem. And I want to get help, like, maybe methadone treatment or something. But, I mean, I'm going to school. I just moved down here from Alaska. Like, changing my life in a major way just to get this far, to get down here, like, with my family and whatnot. But I just ran to Mexico to pick up some tar, and I need to do something. I can't be running to Mexico. I almost got busted at the immigration or the border there. I forgot my ID, and I was like, I don't want to turn around and get my ID. I'm just going to go and fix. You know, I don't bang it no more, but I usually do OxyContin because that's what I got started on in Alaska. And I started banging stuff. And I got,
all right, Paul, look, you need to be treated. You get on methadone, unless you have no possibility of successfully being treated. Methadone is for people that have no resources and can't get well.
It's not like maintenance, but just to come on.
Well, the detox is, no. Just, you need to go to a program. You need to be somewhere for a while. It takes a long time to deal with and get over heroin addiction.
Right.
It takes a long time. You got to take.
What
some
about
time
methadone detox? You just end up getting hooked on the methadone.
No, they end up chipping the heroin as they come down off the methadone. It never works. It's always people looking for an easier, kinder way to get off of this stuff, and they don't want to do the work of recovery, and they think, well, what I have to do is get off the drugs, and I'll be fine, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, right. I mean, I changed so much in my life. I know if I just, came down off before a few times, not by choice, you know. Just
Getting off the drug is a non-issue. It's
right.
It's a simple thing. Staying off the drug is the very difficult task.
Well, I think it's kind of... he's the doctor, I understand.
May I give you a phone number? Let me give you a phone number. I deal with heroin addicts every day of my professional life.
Me too, but it's showbiz. Oh, that's coke.
It's both. Coke. It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, speedball.
I kicked that. I used to bang that.
But those guys are cool.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't. I didn't mean to sound like it wasn't.
Paul, can I give you a phone number?
Yeah, go ahead.
The guy's driving his car.
He gave me a couple numbers already.
626.
Start over.
626.
Okay.
Yeah.
356.
346?
356.
Why don't you have your girl give it to me, because
I'll buy that. Right. True. How often do your phone numbers over the air work out?
I know. We'll write it down.
Well, maybe someone else wants it, so you should give it out over the air anyway, Drew.
All right.
Sometimes
356-2789.
Well, what's that number for?
It's a drug treatment center. Mine work.
It's one of the Southern California things.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Kelly. Sorry.
You always hear people say how they moved and they changed their life so much.
Right.
But the problem they're dealing with is the same. You know, like... It's like when I go home and my friends are all telling me how, man, I got to get out of this place. And they go somewhere else and they get stuck doing the same exact thing and they got to get out of that place.
Yeah, I mean, the one bag you always pack is yourself, man.
Yeah.
Crew, write that down. Packing yourself.
I know you do a little packing.
I pack my toiletry kit every night, man. But it's true, like, who are you bringing? I mean, of course you're packing yourself wherever you're going.
I'm wondering
what
changed in that guy's life, Drew.
What changed?
Yeah, you know, he said, I changed so much of my life.
Oh, he hasn't changed. He just changed drugs and changed locations.
Yeah.
He was doing Oxy when he was in Alaska.
He was doing cocaine first, he said.
Whichever keeps you warm.
He's
doing
heroin in San Diego. It's a totally different thing.
It's all what's called rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
That's right. All right. Let's talk to...
Send that guy to Singapore.
My God. Listen to this call. Jenny.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a product for Adam.
You do?
I do. It's called the Turd Twister, and you can get it at turdtwister.com.
I've got to go on the... So
what does that do?
Well, it's actually a fecal excreter, like a Play-Doh type thing.
Oh. And somebody invented this, Adam?
No, but here's what they're doing.
She sounds so professional.
Yeah, but here's... I think what they're doing, and this is Ginny.
Yes?
What they're doing is they're taking the fecal matter, putting it in the extruder, and then extruding it. I'm saying...
Oh, no. This is actually inserted. You put it anally. You hang on to it.
God.
You clinch it.
I have a friend who I think would like this.
There's a star shape.
Besides Adam.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
A heart
God.
Shape.
Oh, speaking of heart, you're breaking my heart now.
Oh, my God.
Snaked again.
What's it called again?
It's called the Turd Twister.
No, what's the website?
It's www.turdtwister.com.
And how much are these babies? Because
Brian, can you please go out there and print this up? Turdtwister.com.
My stuff's still in the R&D phase, but I'm looking to come in under $19.
Do they have Lincoln's head?
I don't think so. There's a sun. There's planetary. There's a gingerbread
Come on.
Turd.
Oh,
no. How do you do a gingerbread turd?
Gingerbread turd.
I would assume you have to squeak it out through that anal extruder.
No, there must be a cookie cutter and a rolling pin.
Well, I actually...
You build that house?
I actually purchased it one. I purchased one for a different show host and a different show. And
Come
I
on, wait.
Yeah, back. Along with yours.
Jenny, tell us who, just for fun.
True. You're going to know the name of the local DJ?
Oh, it's a local show? New York?
Okay, well, no, it's a show that's no longer here.
Go ahead and do it, just because now it's going to be fun for me to look at Drew. Go ahead. Give us the name of the show and the name of the
I gave it to Don and Mike.
All right.
The Don and Mike show.
There you go, Drew. You a big fan of Don
They're
and Mike?
They're on huge. World-famous KRAP.
I never did find out how they enjoyed it. I want to get one for myself and just leave it in my bathroom and see who winds up at the ER.
All right, and now tell me how this thing works. Do you insert it in your rectum and then clench?
I don't think it, well, you're supposed to clench onto it, and it has a little loop, a little hole where you can insert a string, so if it gets stuck, you can pull it out.
It's got a leash.
Yeah.
Right, the product that I got was not as decorative as the ones here online. It looks more like someone used a cookie cutter.
On a piece
of plastic,
right.
And then I think it's a gag gift. I'm not sure. In actual
what?
Usage,
a gag?
Actually
wait a minute.
And does it show the final product, or do they use something to illustrate it,
they
like cookie dough?
They do have an illustrated the product itself, not how to use it.
Right.
The product is in real life. The one I got looked like PVC.
Yeah.
A tube with a little cookie cutter thing that you would insert in there.
How much are these products? Because I think this is where I might come in.
I don't remember offhand how much they were. They were quite reasonable. I was able to get
reasonable.
Three.
Interesting.
And give them
out get three.
Stuffers.
You get one for the boat, one for the RV.
Well, I'll get one for you guys.
All right.
Please.
Thanks, Eric. We'll look that up there, Ginny. And by the
how
way...
How many times do you think she's used that thing?
I know. She sure sounds happy about it.
By the way, what broad knows what PVC is? Ginny.
Yes.
What, is your husband a plumbing contractor or something?
No, I was. My father was a contractor, and
there
I used to help him. I'm a very...
Whenever a chick knows something, there's always a story behind it. Guy says PVC, and you just go, huh? Chick goes, PVC. The chick tells you, like, if I've ever talked to a girl, and she goes... Well, I mean, the Axis powers of World War II were, quite formidable. I'm always like, oh, what happened? What happened to you? What went on? Something went on. This is very sad, but when a girl knows anything, it's always interesting to me. I know that sounds it sounds horrible, but there's always, it's like, how do you know that? Give me the story behind you knowing
interesting
that.
Interesting, Ginny knew what her dad did.
Most women don't know what their dads do. I was close with the husband in the plumbing contractor.
Yes, yes, you were.
All right. So, Drew, you want to go look that up?
Oh, are you doing that, Brian? Okay.
Brian doesn't even look at
I
you
got it
when
up
you,
in here.
When
can
you
we,
talk
can you print
him.
It up?
I can't print it from here.
Do it in there. And,
Dave, no. Anderson can't leave his post.
But Brian can.
Brian doesn't have a post, so it's easy for him to leave. No, don't. Brian is screening calls.
We haven't gone through any fake calls
we'll
yet.
We'll have Tara, who does nothing, do it.
Yeah. Where is Tara?
Doing nothing.
That's shocking.
Outside.
Oh, okay. Have Tara do it. But ask nicely. She'll tell you to F off. Dave?
Yeah?
You're 36?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been in a relationship for about 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very difficult all the way through it.
All right.
Now... Like, just last week, found out it's bipolar and personal. It's borderline personality disorder.
Oh, boy.
And I've heard you guys go, get out. Get out. That's the best situation that could be for you. But now we're talking about 6 years of history.
Yeah.
What do you...
History, exactly.
Right. History, yeah. Well, World War II lasted about 6 years. Should we just keep it going? Because we had all that time and the money invested into
See,
it?
See, this is why you're a good lawyer. You would make a good lawyer.
Yeah, right. I'd be a smart ass.
It's just common sense.
Of course. All right, Dave, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Well, it's been bad. It's been bad the whole time. I mean, look, here's the thing. If you want to tell us... that you have kids together, that you love her, and things like that, we're open to negotiate. But if you're going to say my argument for staying with someone is that I've been with that person, that's the wrong argument.
Okay.
So you don't have the kids and you don't have the true love.
Yeah, I've been with that argument is get out as quick as you can because you've already wasted so much time.
She actually does have kids, and I'm kind of taking on a father role.
Mm. I see. Those are step or possible step kids, potential step kids.
Exactly.
How many?
She has two kids. One doesn't even have a father, knows me as the father.
Mm, okay.
And so both kids are from different fathers.
Yeah.
So she's a little chaotic.
Well, it's borderline.
Yeah, and it's been chaotic for the whole time.
Well, so now she's got to do the work, get on the medication, do all that kind of stuff, or you're out. That's
how
the deal.
How old is she?
She's 30.
All right. Well, here's the thing about borderline. Is it a real bona fide borderline personality disorder is not particularly treatable. The bipolar disorder is quite treatable, and that will make things better. But borderlines are better when they're on medication. The sort of the fundamental problem with borderlines is they can't regulate their affect. Their feelings are just all over the place, and so are their behaviors. The good news is, as they hit the fourth and fifth decade of life, some of those chaotic qualities settle down. So by the time she's 50, by the time she's 50, things do settle down. But in the meantime, it can be quite an unpleasant ride.
All right. So right about the time you don't want to screw her anymore, she'll be fine.
And you won't feel guilty.
Yeah. All right, so, Dave, have you got her to a therapist? Obviously, she had her evaluation, but is she...
Well, we're pretty close to that, yeah. It's getting there.
Okay,
well, she's diagnosed.
So she's been pinned down to that.
Yeah, she needs to move forward, and as long as she's moving forward with her treatment and her meds and all that good stuff, then you hang out.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
And try to make sure this doesn't happen to the next generation.
Right.
Borderlands can transmit their diseases to the next generation very easily.
How?
By being the mother.
Yeah.
They're chaos.
But, I mean, they're just, they're trouble.
Huh?
And they have guys end up being violent, the chicks end up being strippers, right?
Borderlands often have sexual abuse histories.
Yeah.
Want to ask and see if she had it?
No.
No.
No. Nicole?
Yes?
I know, I have to know. What line was he on? Was that Dave?
Two.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah?
Was she sexually abused?
She had a rape thing when she was about 16.
Mm-hmm. What about before that?
I haven't heard any stories like that.
You might ask about that.
Does Dave really need to know that?
Yeah.
All right, hey, Dave?
Yeah?
Don't ask about that.
You're just saying scoot and let everything work.
No, I'm saying don't ask about her being molested.
He's saying don't stir
sexually abused.
Don't stir things.
Wait
up.
A second. Okay. I'm saying if he stays to ask her. I'm saying if he bails out.
Brother that had a problem because he was mentally retarded at one point.
And maybe he did.
Is this an older brother?
Slightly older. Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, because even sane guys do a fair amount of raping and molesting.
Yeah.
Retarded people.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's fine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
From doing the show, I've learned about 75% of men are rapists. 70 to 85% of men are rapists.
A little conservative.
I'll tell you, one of the best things I saw.
But only 75% of you is a rapist.
Yeah, but the other 25% is napping, so I can't get off the sofa. I would rape if I could move. I can't move. So, I don't deserve any award for not raping because it's one of the
I'm
first
a rapist.
Things I do. And Drew has just admitted that he's a rapist.
What's the great thing you saw?
I saw it a couple of years ago. Oh, no, this is like a year ago when I was watching 60 Minutes and they were interviewing official from South Africa. Basically, the 60 Minutes story was now that we've given control, he kicked out Whitey, essentially, and given the control back to the black folks who live there, rape is on the rise. There's tons of rape going on.
Where is this, South Africa?
Yeah, in South Africa. And they're at they interviewed, I don't remember who it was, but basically some city official, and they interviewed him at a cocktail party, but it was a daytime cocktail party in someone's backyard who lived in a mansion, and they asked him about all this rape that was going on and the huge increase in the instances of rape, and he said, look around. Do you see anyone being raped?
This is nonsense. And I thought, wow, what a compelling argument.
Just come to this country, wherever you look.
A bunch of guys are wearing, like, tails.
Hey, I was just in South Africa a month ago. I didn't see anyone get raped.
You didn't get raped?
No.
Well, he
must have been at that party at the embassy. Yeah. I like this argument. Look around. I see nothing over here. Yeah. Look, there's an ice sculpture, for Christ's sake, and guy playing a violin.
There's all kinds of weird stuff going on over there, man.
Is it weird?
Be right home!
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, you were just in South Africa surfing, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, what is going on over there?
I don't know.
Did they tell you stay away from this area or stay away from that area?
The strangest story I ever heard in South Africa, it's a real quick one. The whites were trying to get the other whites to hate the blacks.
Right.
So these white guys hired these black guys to go into a white church and start shooting everyone.
Wow.
And they actually paid them, like, I don't know, 1,000 rand or something, which is nothing. It's like $100.
And did they do it?
And they went and did it. And so they killed, like, 12 white people. So then all the white people thought, you know, the black people just...
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's like some kind of really...
But you know about it, so someone must have found
out
about it.
Yeah, I guess they sort of discovered, you know, uncovered what happened. But
yeah.
There's all kinds of strange... every time I go there, last time I was there, I met a friend of a friend. Her whole family had been shot in one burglary. This guy came in and shot everyone in the family, but didn't really hurt anyone that bad, just, like, nicked them in the arm and... Nicked her dad in the head, and
really?
But four people in the family got shot in one burglary.
Yeah, I saw another story about everyone's being carjacked, and some guy had an idea to put, like, flamethrowers on the side of his car. Not as good as idea as my ass extrusion template, which I found out already exists.
We got to see this website.
But let's get on this. Kelly Slater is in here tonight. He is a pro surfer, 6-time world champion, and name of his new video, Kelly Slater Pro Surfer, out in a week. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Slater is our guest tonight. Kelly is a 6-time world champion surfer, and Kelly's got a video game that is coming out in 1 week called Kelly Slater Pro Surfer. All right.
How'd you guys get matched up?
Drew did this job for 10 years before I got here. I showed up at K-Rock, the mother station out here in Los Angeles, and the station that this show began on before it was syndicated. I was doing a little work on the morning show, and somebody decided, partly Drew, but not
partly
all
me.
Drew.
It was 100% me. I can tell you where I was standing and who I called and what happened.
That had to do with the TV show. But,
yeah, yeah.
But the radio was sort of around before the TV, or at least was discussed before the TV.
Not with me.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, I don't...
It took me a little while to grow into the TV show, because I was so used to listening to you guys on the radio. Mm. And then when I saw the TV show, it didn't move as quickly or something.
It was never quite right. It was sort of okay for TV, but if you knew the radio show, you should like the radio show more than TV. And in general, that's a good time for me to bring this up. You folks out there, you should be listening to more radio, more talk radio. It's interesting.
All I listen to.
It's stimulating. There's a lot of good, talented people out there. You don't have to listen to us. You can listen to other people. It's a good thing to do.
I was thinking
It'll make you smarter.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing today. I was thinking about our television show and about how so much of it was a visual thing and the content almost didn't matter to people. And radio, the content's everything.
Yeah.
What you say is the whole deal.
No, it's
TV's visual content. Yeah. I mean, you guys should have just hired a whole bunch of the, like, hottest girls you could with really radical problems.
We did some of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that's...
They called it the Man Show, though.
Oh, how dare you.
That's right.
That's a modern classic.
But you ironically poke fun at your problems, and it's all good.
Yeah, it's fun, yeah. The Man Show, the guys end up getting the short end of the stick in that show anyway, if you really think about it. All right, let's move forward here and take a call for Kelly. Alex? You're 16?
Right. Kelly, I was wondering how come you threw the contest
at Lowe's today.
Screw it.
I just didn't feel like winning 30 grand in a car, that's all.
Didn't feel like. Well, also, you've been lagging on the ASP. Pretty. I mean, you come back, you're tired, right, after winning, and you come back, and you're just doing horrible. What's the deal? How come you're just not in the mood to win this year, huh?
Should I hit you with the emotional side of it, or?
Oh yeah, go.
You are an asshole.
There you go. Well, you know, if I got to get serious about it, my father passed away right after the first event.
That was how long ago?
That was in April.
And did that affect your serving? I would assume
it just made me. Well, you know, it was a really growing time for me. It was actually. A beautiful time spent with my dad right before he passed away, but
we were like at the hospital and stuff.
At home, we had him at home, and it was a really horrible thing. He had cancer, and anyways, but that was a terrible thing. But we became really close, and then it sort of gave me a feeling like, you know, obviously there's defining moments in your life, like Dr. Drew's, when he knew exactly where he was and who he called, and we were just talking about that.
Oh, really?
Well, when you guys were talking about the radio.
Oh, right. Yeah. He was jogging.
It was a defining moment.
Yeah.
But it just sidetracked me into thinking, you know, there's so many other things in life that are more important, and so my focus just went elsewhere. Right.
Well, hold on a second. Let me yell at that, Alex.
No, it's cool.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
You little jackass.
Thank you.
You'll never be one-tenth of what Kelly Slater is. You understand me? One-tenth on your best day.
I respect your opinion.
Though. All right.
You got another question, weirdo?
Bring it up.
Hurry up.
But,
get out of my face right now. Push.
That's good.
Day.
But other than that, I just didn't have a whole lot of motivation coming back. I had a lot of great years, and I was all about trying to win competitions, and that was my whole life. And now my life is kind of, you know, there's other things going on and other things I'm interested in.
Well, how do you, I mean, what's the difference in a competition? How motivated do you need to be? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, here comes the wave, you're a great surfer. What's your approach? Why would it be any different? I mean, you lost the eye of the tiger kind of thing?
No, there's a lot of...
Is it practice? Do you not practice as much?
No, I'm practicing a bunch. There's a lot of subtle things that go into competing at a high level at anything, you know, chess or, you know,
right,
cross-country biking or, you know, whatever you're going to do.
So, right.
There's subtle things you have to, you know about what the conditions are doing, what your opponent is, you know, the way he approaches heat and how he's affected by the way you're going to surf or approach the heat or the scores you get and how he's going to come back from that. And
right.
And then, you know, there's also, you got to sort of pace yourself like a long distance runner or something where you don't want to surf your best right away. You want to sort of just beat the guys you're surfing against and sort of save up your reserves for the end. So
Do you think because you're Kelly Slater and your name that the judges are a little bit tougher or could be tougher on you?
Or the other way around.
Or the other way around?
Well, I'd have to say it has gone both ways, but it's gone in my favor a lot of times, so I never really was one to complain about the judging. But
right. Well, that's good, because I think most people, if you ask them that question, would just automatically answer, it's gone against me, because that's the way you feel when you go through life. You don't remember the times it goes for you. You go, yeah, I deserve it.
Yeah.
Of course, I was the best man that day.
Well, you know, if you go out and you surf a really great heat and you come out in the next heat and you surf pretty well, it's, you know, you're going to be judged kind of harshly.
Right. So the idea is the order as well as, Drew, what are you doing there?
I don't take offense to that question you asked me, though. So
right. I just didn't like Alex's attitude.
You can take a shot at him all you want.
I don't like it. You know what I don't like? I don't like teenage boys. I don't like snotty teenage boys. You should be insecure. Your voice should be cracking. You should be popping a zit and crapping on yourself when you're calling the show. I don't like these teenage guys we call that act like we called them and woke them up. Like, yeah, what, dude? I just hate those guys. What name is that?
Monique.
Oh, it is. Monique?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you hate... Really? Yeah, don't have sex with any teenage guys. Screw them. Okay. I mean, don't screw them. What's your question, baby?
Oh, man. My phone died.
Well, we still hear you.
Oh.
It's ironic that we can hear you.
Well,
say
you know,
phone
after 102 minutes,
yeah,
that your phone could die.
Oh, that's bad.
It's ironic that now it dies.
Well, do you want to talk about how it's dead, Monique? Oh, it did die.
She's talking about it.
You
right
normally,
now.
You normally
right
get
now.
That. Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys this with the phone. You know when you got the home phone and it's battery powered, and
yeah.
you get the beep 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 tone. Like it'll start beeping when it's running out of its battery. Sometimes it'll beep for 20 minutes, and sometimes
yeah.
you get 2.5 beeps and it goes.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a good idea as far as design goes. Because sometimes it'll beep all the way through a long call. It's like, nee. And it's like, yeah, ignore that. It's run out of battery. Usually when it's someone you don't want to talk to. But it'll just keep going. And then there's other times you barely get the part out where you're going, that's my phone, and it hangs up. What is that?
I don't know. I'm wondering how she took that right there. She's probably tried to deal with this issue a few times. And then right when she was on the verge of announcing it to the world, her phone died, and maybe she thinks that's another way to protect herself.
Drew kept her on hold for 102 minutes. What was her question, Drew?
I don't remember. I think
she had 15
boyfriends in 5 years, yeah.
Why didn't we talk to her earlier, Drew? That sounds all right.
That's only, you know, one boyfriend every 4 months.
Yeah, what was
one might have been like a couple
but
weeks.
But she was cheating on him, right?
She would end each relationship with cheating. That's like why I didn't take it, because it's just...
What? We had to talk to some a-hole that wanted to make fun of Kelly Slater. We couldn't take care of this poor girl that had trauma in her relationships.
Hey,
how
Drew.
How dare you?
Yeah. As a little payback and to avenge Monique, I'm going to play a little something you said last week.
To
when
avenge.
When Adam was gone.
Ooh.
To avenge
Ooh.
Me?
Ooh.
No, to avenge Monique for what you did to her.
Yeah, keep her on hold for 102 minutes.
I see.
Yeah, let's hear what Drew said. I'm guessing about me. I hope it was flattering.
Yeah, it was a little something about you. Hold on.
Right.
It's interesting.
Let's hear this.
They're smart, and then they're sort of creative and observant. We'll give him
well,
that.
Just like his yummy phase.
Yeah,
thing,
it's very creative.
That.
Very creative and very observant.
Yeah, being very, very positive.
Uh-huh. I said I was creative. But he didn't say I was smart. He wouldn't go
that's
with
what
smart.
It was. This guy was saying you were smart, and he was saying, oh, no.
Drew was arguing with smart. Well, here's the problem with Drew. Drew can't get over the scholastic stuff.
Huh.
To him, that represents smart,
right.
or it has to stand for something in his world. Otherwise, his world would just come apart. If he realized, here's what would ruin Drew. If he realized you could be smart and make a lot of money and never go to school, it would screw him up.
No,
and it would screw him up in his plans with his kids.
But I would say I wouldn't call it, smart implies education. That's what I was trying to say, is that there's talented and creative and having ability and stuff, and smart.
I don't think it. I don't, but it doesn't imply educated for most people.
I think we need. I can accept that, but I was just saying we need a sort of a different language to talk about this stuff.
Well, here's a question: do you make yourself smart, or are you born smart?
That's the wrong word, yeah.
Well, intelligence you're born with. That's not an educational
right.
thing.
Right. And see, smart to me implies that it's you developed something.
Yeah. People say book smarts and street smarts. Yeah. But I don't think so. I think
develop something like a turd twister, you mean?
So you have to be smart to develop
that. That's smart. No. But see, Drew, I disagree with you in that I think that the normal definition of smart is more of it's more inherent, and it's less book. Well, look up smart. Look at Drew. He's backpedaling now. He must have really meant what he said.
No, I meant what I meant. Well, I was sort of defending you, but I was trying to be really clear
about it.
It
was there's smart, and then there's smart in the way of making people think you're smart, is what he was saying.
They have that. I like to think of myself as crafty. But
you're that you are.
But, oh, yes, but... Drew, you were defending me against the guy who said I was smart?
I wasn't.
Uh-huh. Interesting that you would defend me against a guy who called and said I was smart.
You noticed I was not being attacking or anything.
That's the sad part. You meant it.
Wait a minute.
Drew's looking up the word smart.
Damn it.
And in defense of Drew, I would actually sell you out too, Adam, but you just say it right to his face, so there's no point in even recording you when he's gone.
All right, Drew, I'm going to move forward here. Yes?
Yeah, smart does not have anything about intelligence in it.
Justin is 22.
Hey,
well, I'm going to sell your...
Mentally alert, knowledgeable. Knowledgeable. See, that to me is knowledgeable. Lots of knowledge.
Knowledgeable? Yes, yeah. I agree with
and
that.
And maybe knowledgeable is the word that I associate with smart. So.
Okay, no, that's right. Yeah. Justin?
Hey, how you guys doing?
22. Here's the problem. The opposite of smart is dumb. And that's the problem.
That's not right.
That's
because
incorrect.
Somebody wasn't educated is not dumb.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at it as dumb.
So smart is to dumb as knowledgeable is to what then?
As knowledgeable is to uninformed? I don't know.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. Yeah. Justin.
Hey, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a disc fusion about 4 years ago.
That a back thing?
Yeah, for back pain. And since then, they've had me on 12 Norco a day, and I haven't gotten any back pain relief. And they say I need either another surgery or to up my medication. And what I want to do is get off the medication.
That's very smart. Your back pain will magically go away, or at least will get tolerable.
And I'm looking at the different ways to do that because I've been on it for such a long time. I'm afraid of just going through the regular rehab. And I'm looking at rapid detox. And I was just wondering what you knew about that compared to traditional rehab.
There really is no reason for it except for methadone, because methadone can be a very, very tough detox sometimes. And the detox from Norco will take about 5 to 7 days. It will not be a big deal. It'll be sort of uncomfortable, miserable, but in proper hands, it should be quite tolerable.
What's Norco like?
It's Vicodin opiates. And it's ridiculous to spend all that money on rapid detox. It is a total waste of money. In case, in fact, you are an addict, which I don't know whether you are or not, that money should be spent on your treatment and not on your detox.
Yeah, like buying coffee and cigarettes out front of the church.
That's right. What's that?
I don't abuse it, but I know that I'm physically dependent on it because I've.
But you may also. I understand you're dependent. But you may also be an addict, and that money would be much better spent elsewhere than on rapid detox.
Drew.
Yeah.
Question. I hate when people do that. By the way, like you don't have to say question. It's like farting and going fart. It's like, yeah, we know. That's what happened. You're allowed to just ask your question. You have to announce it's a question, do you?
No.
But anyway, question.
No.
The Norco is Vicodin, is OxyContin. What is different about them? It's just the name? I mean, if I took them, would there be different sensation?
No. Oh, no. It's the exact same chemical.
It feels the same.
Exact same chemical.
Is it like aspirin and you have different companies to produce aspirin, but it's still aspirin?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe it's the same company with two different names. So
except
with, corner of the market
for one difference,
or even three.
There is one difference. Yeah. Is that these different companies make different doses than some of the other ones? Some make 7.5 and 10 milligrams.
So if someone says they're strung out on Norco, is that better than Vicodin?
It's usually higher dose Vicodin. Yeah, but what would you do if you had only access to Vicodin and you wanted a higher dose?
You would.
Take more Vicodin.
More Vicodin.
Right, which is what addicts do. That's what doesn't really matter.
Right, but I thought Vicodin had a higher dose anyway.
Mm.
You're saying it's a lower dose than Norco.
Some of the Norcos.
All right. We'll take ourselves a...
I think I got addicted to Vicodin or some one of those things once because I got my wisdom teeth out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I started... You know, all of a sudden when you have pain like that, there's all these people you didn't know have pills.
Yes.
And I was at the beach.
Everyone's got Vicodin now, by the way.
And I was at the beach, and just so happened, like, friend of a friend was she worked at the pharmacy or something, and she's like, here, which one do you want? She had, like, a whole layout in her car, you know, and I was dying, so I just, for about 2 weeks, I couldn't get off pills. And then I started kind of tripping out.
Well, pills are easy to get going with. I mean, you pop a Vicodin, you feel pretty good. You're supposed to pop one every day for 6 or 7 days. And then the eighth or ninth day, you go looking around for one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have gotten into trouble with pills lately. Aren't sort of people who would normally have trouble? I mean, minus the pills, may not have found heroin, booze, or...
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever.
Pill is one of the most common addictions we see right now. But again, you could say the same thing of alcohol. Well, they were using it responsibly, and all of a sudden it got out of control. Well,
yeah, but see, that's the whole thing. Like, I've ran into a lot of people who drank since high school, but never really spun out with it, never really had any trouble with it. But then they discovered Vicodin after the wisdom tooth at age 35.
And pow, it's game on. That's because the alcohol is a very slow progression. The benzos and the opiates, very rapid. Boom.
Yeah.
Pow.
Well, so you're saying eventually they might have had trouble
they
with
would,
the alcohol.
They would definitely have had trouble with the alcohol.
Yeah, but not even really. The people
they
who...
They would have.
I don't know. But you're saying that you know they would have or they wouldn't have had trouble with the Vicodin?
They would have had a very high probability or they would not have had trouble with the Vicodin. Exactly.
Really? Yeah. You couldn't just be into that Vicodin. It
doesn't really happen.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've had momentum with it and yet kind of got away.
What, you mean like sleeping pills?
Yeah,
well, we run out of them.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I mean, I can't score again because Drew's like, he doesn't give me the refill on it. So I got to go down to the park and make an ass of myself. You know, so people know me.
You're just asking around.
It's true. I do that. I'll do that with the sleeping pill. I'll have them. I'll eat one every night, and then I'll run out of them, and then I don't get back into them until I get them again. Which is like, you know, sometimes up to 4 hours after the last one. Kelly Slater is our guest tonight. He is, but yeah, I feel like I could get going with that. Mm. Okay, we'll see what we can do.
Mental note.
During the break, what do you got in the car?
One of my counselors.
Oh, and they're holding, or? Okay. Kelly Slater, our guest, pro surfer. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. What is this?
Who is this? Yeah.
Jurassic 5, isn't it?
Is it?
Is that?
Jurassic 5.
You know why I know that?
Because cool?
They played a concert in San Diego with a friend of mine, Jack Johnson.
And did you go?
Yeah, I went. Jack played first, and then they played, and Jack got to introduce him on stage, and he was all excited about it.
Jurassic 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I knew that, but Drew's not hip. He doesn't know what's going on.
No.
Bitch!
I do not.
Kelly Slater, pro surfer, is in here tonight. That is the name of his video game as well. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 36?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, good. First time caller, long-time listener.
Great.
Hey, Dr. Drew, you said something earlier about on the anal sex question from the girl about the anal muscle, the rectum actually drops outside the body.
Right.
There's a movie. It's actually a porno, so Adam might know it. It actually has a girl in there. She's a... Her name is Mila.
Yeah.
And it actually shows something like this.
Yeah.
I thought and went, what the heck is that?
Oh, that's her thing, you know.
Yeah. That's.
Huh, okay.
Right.
You guys have actually seen this movie before.
Well, it's some people wear their heart on their sleeve and Mila wears her rectum on her underpants.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that and went, what is that? It looks like a train wreck.
I mean, that's what apparently what the box cover said. I didn't actually see
it. I fortunately have never seen what he's talking about.
I have not either, and I thank you for calling, Kevin. And it does bring this point up, which is there's a lot of people that are into the novelty side of sex, which I am not into at all. I mean, here's the thing. There you go. I don't want to see anyone getting crapped on. I don't want to see anyone's rectum falling out.
I have a question about that. Because I actually know a guy.
Unless they're using one of my extruders.
I know a guy who apparently enjoys that from his girlfriend. And it's like...
How does he
She leaves her fecal remnants on the glass table and he's underneath it or whatever.
Really?
Is it somebody you hang with?
Huh?
No,
it's not someone I hang with. It's somebody... I heard this from a friend of a friend, but he's sort of like a very popular surfer.
The glass coffee table thing is one you hear about.
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard it went beyond that too, where there was no table in the way either.
Good
so,
times.
What's going on with that, Drew?
I don't understand that coprophagia. It's called.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Bad times. You know, when you live in North Hollywood, we just call that bad times.
Yeah, bad times.
I was staying at my friend Pat's house last night. Pat O'Connell. A fellow pro surfer. Anyways, he had these kids always come over to his house. And they came running up the stairs last night and he had dog crap all over their hands. And it was a really strange thing.
And
Pat goes, oh, they just wanted to meet you, Kelly. And I was like, wait, that's how people learn to possibly meet me? He goes, oh, they wanted some excuse to come up here and say hi. So these kids, two different kids, walked up with dog crap all over their hands.
Saying we need to...
We need to use the sink to rub it. But there's a hose outside. And Pat's tell him to go outside. What are you doing?
Oh, wait, but that's, you know you've arrived when kids are running, rubbing dog goo on you.
I think I really realized I've made it today.
Oh, no.
Yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
True. That in your wildest fantasies, no one would rub fecal matter in their hands and come up
to speak
to you.
I remember the first time that happened to me, though, and I was...
You never got over it. You were in the airport in Atlanta, I believe.
Denver.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, well, so my point is anybody who's into this weird stuff from a porno standpoint, I don't trust them. And I, as a matter of fact, I don't want to see it because it's damaging to my penis. Well, you know, I mean, what it can hurt.
Yeah, it's yeah, not good for us, right?
Right.
It's like looking at.
I don't even want to know that the women have names. Nicole.
Yes.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a boyfriend a year ago, and we broke up a year ago.
Yes.
And we went out for a year, and since we broke up, I have not had a date. Guys don't approach me, and I don't understand what it is.
How long ago did you break up?
A year ago.
You dated for a year, and you've been broken up for a year.
Yeah.
Do you go to school?
It's because she lives in Chino.
Yeah, do you go to school?
Yeah, I go to Shady College in Rancho. I know you guys hate the 909 area code, but that's where I live.
I didn't even know what it was.
No.
No, I don't know what that is either.
Chino?
No, but I don't know the 909 area code, but that's Chino. But
whatever.
I'm not hip to the 909 hate yet.
What college do you go to?
Chasey.
Yeah.
The junior college.
The junior college?
Yes, it is.
Oh. That's all right. You're a chick. That's fine.
But, like, seriously, like, guys will not approach me.
Maybe she's really hot and guys are intimidated by her.
No, that doesn't exist.
My mom tells me I'm pretty. All my friends.
That's
I have
fiction.
One of my friends here right now. She wants to talk to you guys.
You're fat.
She says that I'm pretty.
All right. Listen.
We can't.
That I'm too hot and guys are intimidated.
Was that a fake call?
Maybe.
No.
There may have been a punch.
Was that our first?
Coming.
No.
Dude.
I don't think that. Listen, that I'm too hot argument is a
doesn't
horrible
exist.
Argument.
Doesn't exist.
No, it's like saying... I couldn't sell my Porsche because it was too cheap.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't work.
The marketplace is completely efficient.
It would work. It works on girls. If a guy is completely hot, it might work.
Yeah.
It might work.
Too cheap. Here goes another girlism.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Kelly, finally someone in here can appreciate some smarts. Yes, Drew?
Knowledgeable.
Y'all, that is the show. I want to thank Kelly Slater for coming out here tonight and always being a delight. Always good to see Kelly. And want to give the plug to Kelly Slater, pro skater.
Well, you picked up this piece of paper here.
Oh, sorry.
Can you also plug the pro surfer?
Pro surfer.
Not this
skater just rhymed with Slater, so it worked out. Oh, yeah, I also want to give a plug to the Turd Twister. Get the turdtwister.com or something like that. And,
thanks for introducing me to that, you guys.
Yeah, well, I thought I made it up, so I'm devastated right now.
You keep that. That's a paper on who should have the Turd Twister.
Mm, good times.
What other inventions do I think I laid claim to? And
they're already
actually already exist.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? All right, so anyway, Kelly Slater, pro surfer. But it's too bad you don't skate because Kelly Slater... Pro skater.
Rolls off the tongue just
really rolls.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, maybe you should change your last name to like Herfer.
Well, I might just switch with Tony. We'll just switch names on the games and...
Yeah, but see, that doesn't work now.
Hmm?
Yeah.
No, you just switch names.
Yeah, I'll take pro skater and we'll just switch sales and everything.
All right, why not?
His name is Kelly Slurfer.
Slurfer.
Yeah.
Pro server? we'll work it out.
Yeah.
We'll be back in about 22 hours.
Some people wear their heart on Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Love Line is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Love Line is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.